I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Talmidei HaYeshiva, the alumni of the yeshiva, the friends of the yeshiva. It's really appropriate that we have both past Talmidim of the yeshiva and current Talmidim of the yeshiva, even Masifta Talmidim, who are here this morning, today, at Yarchei Kala, because the yesod of a Yarchei Kala, that learning doesn't end when a person moves on from yeshiva, is such an important yesod in life. And it's important, you can't inculcate that just after a person leaves yeshiva. When a person is here in yeshiva, they have to know the importance of not just Limud HaTorah now when you're in yeshiva or extra hours in yeshiva, but it's for life. And that message was definitely something, as it was echoed before by Rabbi Neumann, it's something that Rabbi Sharfman Zatzal gave over, that Limud HaTorah is life, and the Talmidim should always have that picture of Rabbi Sharfman of what the importance of Limud HaTorah is at the forefront of their minds. And hopefully, as we give this morning a shiur, which the inspiration of the shiur definitely comes from Rabbi Sharfman. You could check the yeshiva's files. It's shiur number 149. I changed the title, added a few things, but the guts of it, I hope, is something that I gained from Rabbi Sharfman. The title of today's shiur is Minhage Baal V'Ishto Mishpachto, or simply put, the Sfashkanaz family. Now, we know minhagim, customs. We live in the world today, which, excuse the term, is very black and white. It used to be that there are so many people with different minhagim, different nuances of customs that they had in Yiddishkeit. And today is a melting pot. People just merge together. Everyone's nervous to do something a little bit different than somebody else. And Mamela, the result is everyone just looks the same. You know, Ashkenazim, Svardim, Yekis, people from Germany. You know, it's hard to find differences today in the world. Many people are quite embarrassed of doing anything that stands out. But today's shiur, we'd like to focus on the importance of Minhagim. In fact, I found a line over Shabbos. Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, in talking about the nature of the world today, writes, Zelumaka Mahalachis Biyameinu. This is a tremendous, we're in the Parshios, we know what a maka means. Horrible plague that people don't keep their Minhagim. His lashon is, it's an avla gedola, tremendous travesty. People have minhagim, your grandparents, great-grandparents, you know, sacrifice for Yiddishkeit. Who knows how many times were their life on the line to keep Yiddishkeit. And here we're in comfortable America. Nobody's threatening us. And the minhagim that our grandparents fought for somehow are just fading away. Chaim Kanievsky says that's a maka gedola, it's a plague, avla gedola. So we're here today to understand the importance of minhagim, of keeping minhagim. At the same time, we'll learn today that there are differences of minhagim, but in certain scenarios, sometimes those minhagim change. Sometimes they shouldn't. Where are the basic guidelines for such things? Obviously, people have personal shilas, they can consult a psak, but today we hope to lay out some basic parameters in the sugya of minhagim. Now, the first thing, there's a Gemara in Psachim. It's on your sheets, daf nunum beis. The Gemara says, B'nei Baisha Noeg, they'll have you Ozim Mitzur Litzidon, B'malish Abasa. This family wouldn't travel from Tzur to Tzidon, two different towns, on Erev Shabbos. The reason they wanted to go to this other city was that was the market day. They could do good business there. Also, Benayu Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, their kids came in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amrulo, Avun Efshuhu, Anonlo Efshuhu. Our father was able to do it, but we can't. Our father was doing quite well financially. And if it meant skipping one day a week from going to the market to protect Kavod Shabbos by not going to work, not getting super involved on a Friday, our father was able to do it. But we're not doing so well, the kid said. So are we permitted to change the minhag of our fathers and go off and do business? It's not an isser. There's no isser in the Torah. But that's our father's minhag. So Amalahu, the great Rabbi Yochanan, said back, Kvar kibulu avoseichem aleihem. Your father's already accepted this. This has the din of a minhag. Shenemar shema b'ni musar avicha v'altitash torah simacha. What Rabbi Yochanan was answering them is a din in the Torah, at least a din de Rabbanon, pasuk in Mishlei. Altitash torah simacha, we learn from here that there's a responsibility to keep minhagim. Minhag Yisrael is Torah. And a person has to hold on to a minhag to the best of their ability. Even in this scenario where there is a potential financial loss involved, Rabbi Yochanan was not going to get off easy. Rabbi Yochanan told them, you have to hold on to your father's minhag, even if it's harder for you to do than your father. So if that's so, the normal scenario should always be that fathers, mothers, children, everyone in the family keeps the same minhagim. What I'd like to portray today is four cases, I dreamt them up myself, where the details of the case will perhaps show us important principles of minhagim. Now these four cases, if you look at them, they look like each one is a confused family. But after we understand the halacha a drop better, we'll see it all makes sense. I was debating whether I should give them names or not. But, okay. You can, in your own mind, give them a name. The first case, case number one. How could it be that a father davens Nusach Ashkenaz, the mother, the wife, davens Nusach Svard, and the kid davens Svardi? That sounds pretty wild. Father davens Nusach Ashkenaz, mother daven Sfard, and the kid daven Sfardi. What happened? He was not adopted. That's one case. I'll lay out the four cases and then break them down one by one. The second case, you have a Sfardi father. He eats kitnias on Pesach. Yet, the wife, the mother, as well as the son, don't. But for two different reasons. If the father's eating rice on Pesach, why isn't everyone else? Case number two. Case number three. The father keeps Yashan. He's very makbid. Looks into everything, grains that he eats, makes sure there's no problem with Yashan. The mother doesn't keep it. The son kept Yashan for like 5 years after his bar mitzvah, but no longer does. How's that pan out? The son still keeps everything else. Just Yashan he doesn't. And my fourth case, this gets even more complicated. The father waits 3 hours between eating meat and milk. He waits 4 hours. The mother only eats Beis Yosef meat. The kid eats all types of meat. He likes all meat. But he waits those 6 hours. The father keeps 3 hours between milk and meat, meat and milk. The mother is very makbid only to eat Beis Yosef meat. Not the father. But the son eats all meat, but waits 6 hours. How's that work? So there are three basic principles I'd like to put down, and then we'll go through case by case. So the same Gemara that we quoted, the Gemara Pesachim, which shows in general the importance of Minhagim, it also shows how a child has to keep a parent's Minhag. Once a father is makabel something as a Minhag, that's something which there's a certain responsibility for the child to keep that Minhag. We see how much Rabbi Yochanan held him to. The actions we do have pretty major ramifications for generations. That's the first step. Second step is a tashbatz. He says, why does a wife have to keep the husband's minhagim? So tashbatz's idea is that you can't have a family where one does one thing, one does another. Simply. Ishto kagufo, the wife gets married to the husband, she has to take upon herself the husband's minhagim. That's Tashbatz's idea. Okay? Or poskim that go with that, Shlomo Zalman, poskims like that. But there's a third idea. This idea is from Ramosha, and Rav Avadya Yosef goes the same way. You know why a wife has to take the husband's minhagim? It's similar to a din in halacha. Let's say you grew up in Germany. In Germany, you took your mak, your minhag was you only wait 3 hours between meat and milk. But then your family moved to Morocco. Say over there they wait 6 hours. And you move there and you're staying there and you're living there, seemingly for the rest of your life. Your minhagim change. Minhagim atoli on where you're living. So if now you left the German community, now you're part of the Moroccan community, I'm not saying there's a German shul in Morocco, that might be different. But no, now you're living in Morocco. So it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought multiple spots. The halacha is you keep the minhagim of the community you're at. So comes Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says in the back of the sheets, nice, beautiful piece from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe compares a woman getting married to a person moving to a different town. When you enter your husband's home, you enter the new world. It's a new world. In a new world, in a new community, you take on the minhagim of that community. So whatever your husband's minhagim are, that you take. Now we'll see soon, there are multiple differences between the Tashbatz's idea and Ramosha's idea. Let's go back to those cases. The first case, father davens nosa Ashkenaz, the mother davens nosa Sfard, and the son davens Sfardi. How's that happen? I'll tell you. Normally the wife should follow the husband's minhag, even to the degree of whatever nusach the husband davens, the wife ideally is supposed to adapt that. So if he davens Ashkenaz, normally she should also be davening Ashkenaz. But in terms of nusach ha-tefillah, that's one thing the poskim do have a couple heterim. Firstly, because of the fact that there's not so much of a difference between Ashkenaz and Sfard. Everybody, even the Hasidim, started davening Ashkenaz. It's only post the Hasidic movement that Nusach Sfard started, and they switched off Ashkenaz. How can they switch off? Zakhar of Henkin, because it's not considered really much of a switch. So going from Nusach Sfard to Ashkenaz, or vice versa, may not be such a big switch. And there are poskim that permit it. Especially if you add on the factor that the husband's mochel, the husband sees his poor wife as daven nusach sfar for so many years, and it's hard for her to take on a different nusach or vice versa. So if the husband's mochel, by all means, poskim talk, that they could keep that. So you'd sometimes have a wife keeping her own nusach of tefillah. Most of the time it should be the same, but okay, if she keeps it. She has a heter, that's great. But where does the kid daven svardi? So this is also a pretty common thing, just sometimes it's in the reverse. Depending where the kid goes to yeshiva, where he's brought up, that also affects minhagim. And if a kid is ragel to daven a certain way, or whatever minhagim he picks up around yeshiva, around the shul that he davens in, there is a significance to that. Now, if he's able to still stand strong and hold on to his parents' minhagim, kol kavod, but in a scenario where it's hard to do, one would be allowed to switch. In fact, I found an amazing thing. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, his family daven nusach svard. But he was used to around yeshiva, around where he davened, they davened nusach Ashkenaz. Shlomo Zalman asked his father what he should do. His father told him, you could daven nusach Ashkenaz. And thus, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach switched the family minhag to Ashkenaz. It's cute. They bring down that by his father's kever, he made sure when he said Kaddish to add the Atzmach HaKarni V'Karv Mashiach. At his father's kever, that may be different. But personally, Rav Shlomo Zalman switched and davened nusach Ashkenaz. So if you have a Ashkenazi bocher learning in a Sephardi yeshiva, and it's quite hard not to daven their way, he would be allowed to take on that minhag. Case number two. We had the Sephardi father eating kitnias on Pesach. The mom and son don't. So here this gets into halachas of Bali tshuva. Let's say the father is a Bali tshuva. That means there was a point in time he wasn't keeping religion. At that point in time, he got married. And to a nice lady who was a little bit ahead of him, she had Herman Hugim growing up in Ashkenazi. And Baruch Hashem, she had a good hashpa. She had her husband send her kid to yeshiva. How many times do we see cases like this? Baruch Hashem. She had her son go to yeshiva, and slowly, the father came back to Yiddishkeit. Meanwhile, the father was a Sephardi. When he came back to Yiddishkeit, he adapted his old family minhagim. In fact, the poskim say that's the ideal. If you could trace back your old family minhagim, someone who's a Baal Tshuva, it's wonderful if you could keep those minhagim. But many times we don't. And many times a person already gets adapted, he's learning an Or Sameach, and this is how they daven an Or Sameach. So fine, the poskim say that you could keep them in hug him, you adapt. But where the father was able to go back, he's now keeping Sephardic minhagim. Does that affect his wife? Might depend. Maybe according to Tashbats, Ishto Kagufo, maybe it should. But in Ramosha's world, Chora, the responsibility the wife had to the husband is when she got married to him. She got married, Kedasa Kedin. But at that point in time, he wasn't from. He didn't have any minhagim. So she was never meshubed in that case to his Sephardic minhagim. So she kept Ashkenazic minhagim. The kid went off to yeshiva, to an Ashkenazi yeshiva, some Chavetz Chaim branch, and he became tremendous Talmud Chacham, Baruch Hashem. So he has Ashkenazic minhagim. Rabbi Yalshev actually was asked a shaila like this. When the son was marrying off his daughter, by that time the father was from, and the father wanted his granddaughter to get married off based on Sephardic customs. The Yidiki said the son had been practicing in Ashkenazi his whole life, was ready to do everything Ashkenazi. They sent the shaila to Rabbi Yalshev. Now, I'll put aside Helchas Kibud Av Va'Em, because that was an important factor in the decision. But in terms of the Minhagim, the kid was in the right. This is a minhag you picked up. Your father might be Sephardi, but you've been practicing in Ashkenazic customs for all those years. You could keep that. That's case number two. Case number three, the father keeps Yalshin, the mother doesn't. The son kept it, but then stopped. So this is an important qualification, also relevant within Rav Moshe Avadia Yosef's world. In Rav Moshe's world, it's all about you're moving to a different town. A wife, or a Sharfman, I can't mimic him, it's too perfect, says even if you marry the girl next door, but halakhically, when she marries you, she's going to a whole different town, a whole different world. And that's why she keeps the husband's minhagim. But that only applies the halakh of minhagim, the mafreshim there in Reish Yadal and Yeridea, say it only applies to real legitimate minhagim that date back hundreds of years. Let's say you decided personally, I want to be Makben and Chol Yisrael. I want to be Makben and Yashem. Those are examples of chumras. Make her a din. You're 100% okay without it. So you want to be Machmer. So on a chumra, Zakhtar Bravadi Yosef qualifying this idea, on a chumra, a husband can't force a wife to keep. The husband wants to be Machmer in that. Kol Kavod. That's not Meshubed, the wife. So that's why just because the husband keeps Yashan doesn't mean the wife has to. The kid, though, really should follow his father. And that's what he started doing. His father kept Yashan, so he tried to keep Yashan. But like all chumras, and this is the important aspect of why you have to know what the nature of a halacha is. If the halacha is a chumra, so there could be times and places where it's hard to keep a chumra. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman talks about somebody in yeshiva that feels very out of place. He's the only one keeping yashan. No one else is keeping yashan. He can't sit there. He always has to run out to eat his own food. Can't sit there with everybody else. Again, ideally, if you could keep him matov ma'anayim, but there might be scenarios, might be situations, might affect his learning. Talmud Torah k'neged kulam. Well, Yashav says, Shlomo Zalman says, there's room to be mekel. And finally, the fourth case. A father keeps 3 hours between meat and milk. The mother only eats Beis Yosef meat. And the kid eats all meat, but 6 hours. This involves another interesting idea within Ramosha's world. Mevadi Yosef says, according to this idea that you're changing, going to someone else's town, that doesn't supersede the idea of when you change towns or you don't change towns. Minhagim have a sphere of influence. Rabbi Avadia Yosef has a beautiful idea that Eretz Yisrael in general is under the domain of the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, the Beit Yosef. The Yosef Cairo, if anyone ever had the schus to visit Tzfas, you could still see his basic Knesses. The Yosef Cairo lived there. Mechaber the Shulchan Aruch. So if a Ashkenazi man marries a Sephardic woman and they live in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Avadia Yosef says, in terms of the wife, you can't say she's going into the husband's domain and now she doesn't have to eat Beis Yosef meat with Sephardim or Makbanon. She's living in Eretz Yisrael. She's in the place of the Mara D'Asra, Rabbi Yosef Kaira. She can't do that. And for the record, I tracked down the Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld as well as Isser Zalman Meltzer. Both said same type of idea when they moved to Eretz Yisrael. We have to be careful with Psakim of the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef, because we're in Eretz Yisrael. He's the Mara D'Asra. So the wife in that scenario could still keep her minhagim, and she'll only eat Beis Yosef meat. The father doesn't necessarily have to keep that. He has his own minhagim. He can't get his wife on his team, but doesn't necessarily compel him to do that also. So he could still eat non-Beis Yosef meat, but he happens to be a yaki. So he's going to wait 3 hours between milk and meat. And similarly, his wife could do that too, because she adapts his minhagim. In terms of others, there is a dispute, a very interesting dispute. Nowadays, outside of Germany, is there such a thing as keeping 3 hours? There are some poskim who say, no, you actually have to go with the mechaber, and the halacha brings maybe waiting 6 hours. So the son, his father could keep three, but if he happened to get a psak that he should keep six, that might be what he has to do. So these things, all these minhagim, are very, very interesting ideas. Beautiful concepts. Ideally, if we could keep them exactly the way that our forefathers kept them, that's a schus for them, for us, holding on to our beautiful minhagim. But there are scenarios, there are cases where these things switch depending upon the circumstances. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should all live to see the day when we all go back to Eretz Yisrael and somehow we'll all get together, Ba'aguda Achas, worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the proper place. Thank you very much for listening. I believe there's going to be Hachana for Rabbi Luban's Shir. I hope Mar Makomo should be forthcoming. Perhaps we can make chavrusas with everyone here. And Mincha will be at 2:45, followed by a short Mutzah Seder, and then Rabbi Luban's Shir. Thank you very much.